Really?
I'm trying to figure out why you care.
Because the Torah speaks to me.
What?
Because the Torah speaks to me.
So you'll go to the Kiddush. You don't want to miss my drasha, huh?
Is the midrasha, is it hot?
I think it's fixed. You don't want to miss my drasha, right? Why would you want to miss my drasha? So of course you won't.
I'm still going to say it was good. So what's the difference?
That's right, meaning if you don't listen, it doesn't make a difference. But... Okay. We are on Pe'ayim and Aleph. We are up to Boyminei. How do I identify it? Go across from Tysus Blois. And move down 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 lines down. On Pei Hey Amid Aleph. Pei Hey Amid Aleph, right? 8 lines down, you go across from Tysus Blois. 85, 8, 2? Thank you very much. By me, Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yechonon. Rabbi Elazar asked Rabbi Yechonon the following question. Amana l'kayin gadol begrusha l'chalutza l'kayin hedget. Yashna mezainas, ayinla mezainas. If you remember the Mishnah, the Mishnah said the Chayvi Lavan are entitled to a Ksuba. We have not yet explained why Shnias and Chayvi Lavan are different. That is coming up. Stay tuned. But at this point, the Gemara wants to know, they have a Ksuba, does that mean that she gets fed during the marriage? That he has an obligation to feed her because he has an obligation to pay her the Ksuba at the end of the marriage? Does he have an obligation to feed her, which is a Tanai Ksuba? Dr. Gemara Hechidami, what is the case? Elaim of the Yasvatu says she's still sitting under him. We want him to divorce her. We don't want there to be peace and harmony in this household. We want a lot of fighting. We want them to hate each other so they should get divorced. So Mizainus is what? We're going to feed her? Well, I'm not going to give her any benefits while she's not supposed to be there. It's an illegal marriage. So we're going to give her benefits that she gets fed? Adarabba. Let her not get fed, and she'll walk out on him, and she'll make a big tumult, he'll divorce her.
Wasn't the
boy, had a
lie with
that woman? Yeah. He took a trip, and she borrowed money, and she, there's a, two ways over here. We learned in Masechtas Ksubas, somebody who went to Medina Sayyam, and he left his wife, and some benevolent fella got up and fed her, he not necessarily can collect from the husband. Nobody asked him to feed her. He's doing it as a nice chesed. He has no right to come to the husband and say, you owe me money. It's a machloikus. Back in Masechtas Ksubas, Charan said, Haniach ma'isav al-kerei natzi, putting your money on the horns of a deer. But that's not the point here. Here, she borrowed money. And when she borrows money, then the husband's obligated to pay. A regular husband leaves town. In the first case, she didn't ask for the money. Nobody asked. He decided he feels bad for this woman, and he feeds her. It wasn't alone. It wasn't anybody. Mashenkin, if she comes to him and says, listen, I'm short of money, I'm borrowing money, my husband will pay you back, since he's obligated to feed her. In a regular marriage, he has to pay back. Here, he's out of town, right? So he's not feeding her, or yes, feeding her. The bottom line is, he's not here, right? So the question is, He has an obligation to feed her as a wife. Is that obligation there? Or do we say, excuse me, is it a model of kind gadol? There's no mezainus here. We don't want any feeding here. We haven't explained why yet, but there's going to be a ksuba by a model of kind gadol. When the marriage breaks up, we're going to make him pay. Here the marriage is not breaking up, right? But at the same time, he's not here. So he's not together with her that we should have tried to break up the marriage right now because he's not here. So maybe he's obligated to feed her because he's obligated to feed his wife, and she is a valid wife, not a legal wife, but a valid wife. He's obligated to pay her the ksuba when he divorces her. He's obligated to feed her now. I do maksubat with mishkal mepik isla. Ksuba, which is the total end of the relationship, meaning she leaves and goes and takes it and is out of here, that she gets. Mezaini, do matakim gabei lesla. He might not be here, but by feeding her, you're extending the marriage. We want a break up here. So the question is, our drive to break this marriage up, which says that when he's in town, he doesn't feed her. Let me just finish. He doesn't feed her. Our drive to break up the marriage, right? What does that include? While he's here, for sure he doesn't meet her. We don't want a relationship to go well. But he's not here. She borrowed money. Is that his responsibility? Or can he say, listen, I don't have to feed my wife because she's an Abana L'Kayin Gadol. The Chazal don't want this marriage anyway. So therefore, it's her tough luck. Let her pay her debts whenever she gets money. It's not my debt. I don't have to pay it. But the bottom line is he's not here. So the push to break it up is not as strong. He's not here. Not breaking up anyway now. So therefore, that's the Shaila to Gemara. Amar Lei, so we answered, Lesla. She doesn't get the Mezainis. We're interested in breaking up this marriage, and that includes that if he's out of town, she borrows money, he's not obligated to pay it back, because we don't want the woman to get fed. We want to break this marriage up as fast as we can. Yes, Dr. Harris.
Maybe one of the reasons for tshuva
true. Iksuba is to make it difficult for the husband to divorce the wife. Again, we're weighing, I think it will be clearer when we go along, but the bottom line is we have to weigh the obligations here. Who are we punishing in the marriage of an Amana L'Kayin Gadol? Are we taking it all out of the poor woman? Or is the poor man, they're both maybe not poor because they agreed to this marriage, but are we saying to the man, you're guilty. There's no way we're going to let you get away scot-free here and not have to pay. There's two ways to balance this. You're right. The purpose of Ksuba is to extend marriage. But the bottom line, it's a financial contract that he wrote to her. Are we going to void that contract? Are we hurting her? Or why are we hurting her? Why are we blaming her? Now, the Gemara is going to explain why by Shnia we blame her and why by Lavan we don't blame her. But the bottom line is if we don't blame her, don't take away her money. You're right. It's illegal. We want to break this up. But why pick on her? Now, Mezainis extends the marriage. There's a positive. He's feeding her. If you don't feed her, she has a bigger incentive to get out of here, to fight with her husband and create a relationship that's untenable, and therefore she's going to divorce. So the question is, to what extent did they take it? When he's here, he doesn't feed her, right? When he leaves town, does he have an obligation to provide her with food while he's gone, or do we say we don't want food?
I think he would. If he doesn't do anything there, what's the hobby?
When he's here, we get a get faster when he doesn't feed her. When he's not here, he's not here. He's not giving a get today. He's not here. He left to China. He'll be back in 2 years. This woman is a married woman for 2 years regardless.
He had no obligation to feed her while he was here, and you could trust that.
That's because we want him to give a get. So if he doesn't feed her, she's going to get angry and fight, and the get will happen. This get is not happening now for 2 years. He's out of town. It's not happening. The question is, by feeding her, is he extending when he comes back? It won't happen as fast. By not feeding her, it'll happen as soon as he walks into the door. Or do we say, meanwhile, he has to feed her. He's a husband. He has obligations of a husband. Why punish her? Again, it boils down to the fact that you seem to be bent on punishing this poor lady. Because...
No. Well,
because...
the fact that he's not... I don't believe to feed him while he's there. Then
that's because
he
really has an obligation to feed her when he's here. We don't want him to do it because we want her to walk out. We're trying to get her to walk out.
Right, so if he goes away and he sends money, she's not likely to walk out. She's okay. She's eating.
But she didn't send
money.
But she didn't send money. No, he didn't send money. Listen, if he feeds her while he's here, we're not stopping it either. All we're saying is we're not going to make the husband feed her. Right, when we say she doesn't have mezainis, that means we tell them you're not allowed to feed us with your wife. Can't stop them, they're married illegally. If we can break it up, we break it up, right? So obviously, we're saying if she comes to bed and says, my husband's not feeding me, we say, great. We're not going to make him feed you because we don't want you married to him.
And then what? So then she can't divorce him?
Well, she can make a big fight. She can walk out. If she doesn't get fed.
She's in Japan.
Again. Yeah. if she gets angry at him, they're not having relationships anymore. She walks out on him. She's not getting fed anyway. She's not getting taken care of anyway. Why stay with him? That's the idea. Get them to fight. Get her unhappy. She's unhappy, she'll walk out. Once she walks out, he'll divorce her. Now, if he leaves town, now the question becomes, are we interested in making her unhappy while he's out of town? He's not getting the divorce now anyway. So on one hand, why shouldn't he feed her now? It's not helping us in any situation. On the other hand, it does keep that relationship going, that when he comes back, it's not going to break up so fast. That's the question of the Gemara. The answer is he doesn't get to have to feed her. Yes, Harvey.
The
Ar Ksuba doesn't contain anything, but the Ksuba at the time of the Gemara had a Tanai that he feeds her. They may not get married, but a financial contract is a financial contract. The question is, will we enforce this financial contract? In a regular marriage, a woman comes to Bezin and says, my husband's not keeping his word. We get involved to help the woman. We go to the husband and say, you have a financial contract. Here, we don't want this financial contract to continue. So we're not going to help this woman out.
I know it's a financial contract, but it's based upon marriage. Why didn't they just say that it's invalid?
So they asked me the question, why didn't they invalidate the marriage? Kramakadosh had died to Drabbanan Mekadosh, and Drabbanan have the ability to invalidate any marriage. So why didn't they invalidate any marriage? I don't know the answer to that question.
Why did they invalidate the star that comes with the marriage, either written or if there's none? I think we learned that if there's none, then they impose certain things anyway, actual marriage.
I don't think we just invalidate stars. You know, again, it's his financial.
It's based upon a valid marriage. Something called a ketubah is based upon a valid.
But we want, again.
Is a ketubah between a Jew and a Gentile valid?
No, it's not. Yes, really, yes. We wouldn't call it a ketubah, we'd call it a financial contract. Not a marriage. It's a financial. Listen, if you obligate yourself, if Reuven obligates with his star to feed some non Jewish lady, and he makes a valid financial commitment. No, if it's a valid or legal, that's the question here.
Well, fine, legal. Isn't there something in the Shtar that says, so we're saying it's just a basic contract that happens to have things in it that we also happen to enforce if it's between valid parties?
We enforce all financial contracts. If a person makes a financial contract between a Jew and a guy, why won't we enforce it?
It's not a marriage.
It's not. See, that's what I'm trying to say. What?
It's a
person makes a financial contract, it's a financial contract.
If I saw the word, I mean, you don't have the word. It makes no mention of marriage.
It does. It does. It married, it mentions, in Eric Sub, it mentions that he marries.
I mean, probably wrong with that. It's like the marriage it refers to is a halachic marriage.
It is validly halachic. Maybe. If it's based on marriage, maybe you're right. Because it's not a marriage. Depends how it's worded. What I'm trying to say is, I'm getting across what I'm trying to say.
But which one?
If it's based on marriage, a Jew and a Gentile is not a marriage, and Amman al-Kai God is a marriage.
And we decided not to invalidate that marriage.
No, we decided not to invalidate that marriage. It's a marriage, it's valid, it's illegal, but it's valid, correct. Why they don't invalidate all illegal marriages, I don't know. But the bottom line is he's going to pay the ksuba when he divorces her. We're going to enforce that financial contract. We're only not going to enforce any clause that extends the marriage. We're not helping her out to extend the marriage. But we're going to enforce it. When he divorces her, he's going to pay top dollar. But I'm under the kind of God, we're not punishing her.
So we're going to do selective enforcement.
Correct.
This binding star.
Correct. You just said it.
In order to
correct. We will not enforce. We will not enforce anything that will extend illegality, but we will enforce binding commitments that don't extend illegality.
I would think that here we have a creditor who may not know the problem within the marriage.
That is true. He got stuck. He got stuck. Yes, because he lent her the money.
Right.
Correct. So she owes him the money.
Well, actually, in this case, I think we're saying he does get paid. Because the husband's out of the money.
Right. He gets paid if when the husband comes back, he has to pay him, right? The husband's not here. She's borrowing the money to be paid back when the husband comes.
They could really mess up the marriage by having him come back from Japan and having this creditor who's furious, and the whole society will be upset. We can't do business with this guy or anybody in his family because he has a marriage we don't approve of. I mean, then you could really...
I disagree with, and I'll explain to you why. A regular husband goes out of town, he goes to Japan, and she borrows $25,000 to exist. And he comes back, he's got to pay the
$25,000. Yeah, the lender's happy.
Right, exactly. The lender's happy, the borrower's happy, the woman's happy, everybody's happy, and they live happily ever after. Now, he's illegally married, right, and he goes out of town, and she borrows the money. Not paying the creditor is not breaking up the marriage between the two. She's very happy. She got vetted 2 years. Why should she be hurt by the fact that he's not paying his debts? His not paying debts is not going to affect the marriage now. We want her unhappy.
Not enforcing it will put a lot of societal pressure on that marriage from people other than the
On him, but not on the marriage. The creditor is not getting paid whether the marriage breaks up or not. Yeah, I agree with you. Okay.
Any marriage, when Ben didn't want to get involved, they get involved. You don't have to start getting, what happens now is she's losing out, right? And,
correct.
But he doesn't care, right? And he doesn't have to pay the mezuzahs, right?
Correct.
So, two people that... a guy that's supposed to divorce his wife and doesn't do it, Bezdin gets involved. Bezdin gets involved. So over here, you don't want this marriage to continue, so Bezdin get involved and do the things he has to do. For example, don't give aliyahs,
again.
That's all they're saying. Why do you have to start going with mezuzahs? Someone's losing out on the mezuzahs deal.
Again. You're right. Bezdin gets involved and do whatever they can to
break up
the marriage. One of the tools in their arsenal is to create friction in the marriage.
That's a tool in their arsenal.
Let's say they can't beat him up. Let's say they're limited. Let's say they can't do anything that'll make him give a get. So what we try to do is, stop for a second. Let's try to put this in perspective. He's not feeding his wife. If he's feeding his wife, there's no talking here. The guy's not feeding his wife.
Not forbidding him from feeding his wife.
Exactly. Well, he can do whatever he wants, right? We're not enforcing it. So he's not feeding his wife. So she comes to us and says, can you help me get Mazinus and my husband? We say, absolutely not. That's all the Gemara is saying. We're not going to help her get her food because we want her to be angry. We're going to try to break up this marriage any way we can.
But it's a one-sided thing. He himself, but not... giving her results, gains on the deal.
But we want to use whatever tool we have to break up the marriage.
So bring it the other way. Feed her, then would he be angry if he feeds her?
A regular husband feeds his wife.
That's why he got married.
He understood when he got married that he has to feed his wife.
He would continue doing it still.
Yeah. This is the man that stopped feeding his wife. Right. So she, instead of getting angry at him and walking out, she goes to Bezdin to help her, which is something in our society we would say, why do you want to stay with this guy? But she wants to stay. She wants to get fed. Listen, women in those days wanted to get fed. They didn't have means of support.
And therefore, what's going to happen then if he doesn't feed her?
She's going to walk out and look for another Eitzah.
Right. Another eitza, you have to go door to door, which she doesn't, which you won't do.
But you'll have to do it because he starves. He's not feeding her, for crying out loud. So what's he supposed to do?
He's
wait and starve to death? He doesn't want to.
In every marriage, if the husband doesn't want to.
So it's he goes to Bezdin and Bezdin enforces it.
Yeah, so in every situation, it's not like that. Meaning,
but we're not going to enforce something we don't want to continue.
But she doesn't, she's going to not go door to door to get the food.
If she's starving, she'll do whatever she has to eat.
So she's going to get kind of punished.
In the Mezainas, again, we're out, not out to punish her. We're out to break the marriage. If included in breaking of the marriage is to get her angry, yes, we get her angry. Withholding the ksuba after the marriage is not helping break up the marriage. The ksuba is that the marriage broke up. Now he has to pay up. Here we're talking about during the marriage. During the marriage, we will do anything to make a fight between the two.
But this is only on her side.
We're not going to solve it.
Exactly. 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 And we're not going to solve it. And therefore, she'll walk out on him. And when she walks out on him, that's exactly what we want.
But he doesn't get hurt.
Well, he got hurt. You're right. Well, he doesn't get hurt. You're right. But we want to break up the marriage. He's going to have to pay the ksuba when he divorces her. By Chayv
Elavin. Fucking Tzai Kedushin Tzai Erisin? I mean, Tzai Misui? What's this question?
The Zionist is only after the Suan.
Okay, so before we had in the previous paragraph about Bokalis Petruma, how is that different than this question?
I lost you. I have no clue where you're coming from.
When we have a child, whether she's a Bokalis Petruma or not?
Correct.
So what is that?
Not that he has to feed her. Is she allowed to eat Truma?
Not from him. I mean, not
he doesn't have. Listen, he can feed her if he wants to. The Mishnah here doesn't say we stand there and say, don't you dare give her food. We tell the husband he doesn't have to feed her, which means if she comes and complains that he's not living up to his obligations of marriage, we say to her, lady, you shouldn't be there to begin with. We're not helping you.
Oh, so the question we had was helpful.
If he's, listen, if they had a loving relationship, and that's why they got married, we assume he would feed her on his own, right?
So the question there was, is she allowed to eat some tumor?
Exactly. Exactly. Dr. Rashi. Mazoini tonight, subaninu, shakach kosuba, b'ksuba, te yasu, and basi, you should sit in my house. Umistin, and minachase, ko yame, marg. Oh, that's Vaita. Okay, we're going to go Vaita. Don't think about Vaita. Vatanya yeshla. He answered him that she doesn't get ksuba. Doesn't the bride say she gets Mazoinis? Don't think about Kitanya, he lachamisa. If the husband died, the estate is obligated to feed his wife till she collects her tzuba. She was an amana l'kai gadol. He died. There's no reason for us to break up the marriage anymore. The Rebbeinu Shlom broke up the marriage. He's dead. Now she's a regular widow, left with a tzuba she didn't collect yet. A regular woman who doesn't collect her tzuba is entitled to be fed from the estate. She's also entitled to be fed from the estate. There's no reason for us to take away Mazinus from her. The marriage is broken. He's gone.
The Yerushim will say it was an illegal marriage. I don't want to pay her.
Again, illegality of a Chayvi Lavin does not absolve financial obligations. Okay. We're not punishing her. The only reason we didn't feed her is we wanted to break the marriage up. The Rebbeinu Shlom broke it up. He died. It's broken up. Now it's a question of a regular ksuba. And in the regular ksuba it says, the widow will be fed till she collects her ksuba. Why should we take it away from her? Who's the chayte? Again, to go back to the point, why are we giving her a ksuba to begin with? We didn't get there yet.
Okay.
Right. I know. Someone said it yesterday. I know. Unknown person. Rashi. Mezainit ha'ksuba shikachaslo b'ksuba ate yasu v'beisi mitzin v'minchasei kol yemei migra ha'mosayach as long as you're a widow. Zog tigim alach ha'misa imeis v'loi girsha yesh lo mezainit kol yemei ha'minus kishar ha'mona. The mezainit ha'ksuba to deny their financial obligation. V'okalekele makes a deal with this achim gabei. She's not staying married to him. It's gone. It's over. That's the first version. It's the Amri Amalei Tanya Yeshla. When he was asked the question, right, does she get Mazinus when he leaves town? He answered, the bride says she gets. And the Gemara asked, don't we want to break the marriage up? Why would we let her get? Why don't we want to get her angry? Hello, Tanya Yeshla, but the bride said Yeshla, Kitanya Hilacha Misa. So according to the second version, he originally said she gets while he's out of town. But the Gemara said it doesn't make any sense. And the Gemara said, you're right, he doesn't get. She doesn't get unless he dies. And after death, she's entitled to Mazinus. Tanu Rabbanan. Amanu L'Kayin Gadol, Grusha V'Chalutzu L'Kayin Hedget, Yesh Lo Ksuba, she's entitled to Ksuba, Paris, he ate the Paris, he has to reimburse her. He has to reimburse her because he doesn't have to redeem her. Because the Ksuba says, I will redeem you and bring you back as a wife. We don't want it. So therefore we say, he doesn't have to redeem her, therefore he's not entitled to eat her fruit, and we make him pay for it. Mazinus, she gets fed after death. Blois, she gets the worn-out clothing back when he divorces her. She's entitled to all benefits that any woman gets from a ksuba.
What if you get my tzedakah?
Pashtus not. Heap tzulam, she becomes pasul from this chayvei lavin. She becomes a zayna. She becomes a pasul, a lady. The blood, the pasul. And her son, and her child becomes pasul. This is not by everything. Sometimes the child becomes pasul, sometimes not, depending on the chayvei lavin. But usually, a mamzer marries the Israelis, the kid is a mamzer. A nasin, the kid is a nasin. A kayan, the kid is a chol. So in many cases of chayvei lavin, there's consequences to the children. The Kaipan Isolaitzi, and we force him to divorce her. Bezin will come in and do whatever they can, not give him aliyahs, beat him up, do whatever it takes to get him to give again. A Chaybe Lavin. We do everything in our arsenal. One of the things is to get them to fight. If we have the power to beat him up. Today you go to jail if you beat up the husband for not giving a gun. Yes. Yes, it has been done. There are people sitting in jail today for beating up husbands for not giving gittin. Correct. Yes. It was not a good idea. Today it's called, you would get arrested for assault and who knows what. And kidnapping and all kinds of different things. But we try our best. Right? We put pressure. No aliyahs, chayrim, we try our best. One of the tools in our arsenal is that we don't help her get food, that way she walks out. Now today that doesn't work all the time, because if he wants to hurt her, he won't give her a get even though she walked out, as we have seen happen many countless times. Shniyas medivrei tzifrim, rabbinic arivas, eilok sabah, there we punish her. Vain Lai Paris, he doesn't have to reimburse her for the Paris. Lai Mazinus, but Lai Blois. Vihik Shera, she's unaffected. She doesn't become a Chalala. Marrying Ishnia, the woman is unaffected. She's still Kasher Takayan. And for the Kasher, her kid has no consequences. The Kaifan Isolai, however, we try to break the marriage up also. But we break it up, we punish her, that at the end of the marriage, she gets nothing.
Yeah, but you could have said that Yidra and she's a Chalala.
They didn't. But they didn't.
Who could do that?
First of all, Shnia has nothing to do with Kahuna. It would only be Midraban and the kid is a mamzer. They didn't do that.
I'm saying we could have done that.
They could have done it, but they didn't. You're right.
That'd be more of a reason to get rid of her.
Again, they didn't. Rashi. Dr. Ashi Vyashla Paris. Abba Bisha Akhlasa Paris. He consumed it. Even the Shalika didn't, Aklan, Sha'aloi Nesuah Me'aylam, did not have a valid, even though Rashi uses the word he didn't have, and Nesuah and Rashi means he didn't have a legal marriage. By Ksheira, we say, if he divorced her, we don't make, and he never redeemed her. So she wants to get paid for the fruit. We don't say that. We say whatever he spent on improving her land, he spent, and whatever he ate, he ate. Here we punish him, the Mashalim Afilim Asha'achol. But nay, and Rashi starts hinting at the Gemara coming, Shehu Margilo La'Aveira. we blame him for this marriage. We say in a normal case of Chayvei Lavan, the woman is not the engine of the marriage. The engine of the marriage is the man, and the Gemara will explain why as we go along, so we'll leave it alone.
Rabbi, why do we say here that there's no ksuba?
There is a ksuba. I'm sorry, by shnias there's no ksuba. All this will be explained. We're going right now to it. It's going to take another 5 minutes if I can get through this. Rashi, Hachi Gassin, and Mechem, Mitzvah, Mitzvah, Sagayim, Mechuhu, Pasul, Behip, Sula, Mechom, Malkam, Shuhu, Pasul, Behip, Sula, Kansu, Aser, Rabban, and Ksuba. Oh, that's right, so we didn't do that yet. I'm Reb Shimon Elazar. Min Meimah Amru, Amanu, Lekayin, Gadol, Yashul, Ksuba. Why did we say that an Amanu, Lekayin, Gadol is entitled to Ksuba? The answer is, Mechuhu, Pasul, Behip, Sula. Because either he becomes Pasul, or she becomes Pasul. And I'm going to learn like Rashi. Other Rishonim argue on Rashi. Rashi says that during the marriage of an Amanu L'Kayin Gadol, we don't let him work in the Beis HaMikdash. So he becomes temporary Pasul. Right? And she also can become Pasul. She becomes a Chalala. Right? Let me finish. V'kol Malkim Shehu P'sula, Pasul V'hi P'sula. In a case that either he or she becomes Pasul, Kansu Isek Suba. Then we say we punish him. There are no consequences. What he's saying is that the when a woman, this is the way Rashi explains it, when a woman becomes puzzled, she doesn't like the marriage. No woman wants to become puzzled. No woman wants to become a chalala for the rest of her life. And she doesn't want her kids to become puzzled. And therefore, we don't have to punish her in order to get her upset. The fighting will happen by the fact that she's becoming puzzled. And even though she became puzzled already by the first relationship, but the fact that she became puzzled causes a resentment. This is the way Rashi explains it. And therefore, the resentment is built in. There's no reason to take her ksuba away to break up this marriage, to make them cause resentment. So therefore we say, we're not punishing her. Whereas by shnia, there's no consequences. There's no drive for her to be angry at her husband. She's not puzzled, her kids are not puzzled. Therefore, in order to break up this marriage quicker, we take away her ksuba. Let's read Rashi, who will explain it better to me. Sup, Rashi. So Rashi's bothered. What does it mean? Who pasul? The husband doesn't become pasul. The Rashi argues, "May shu pasul because not the pchayrus. Hanayse nashim baveira pasul. He's pasul at lavida." The Bach adds, "At sheyidur hana till he makes a nether to get out of the marriage." V'hi psula chalala. V'chol makom. I'm reading from Bach. Shehu pasul ayada. V'hi psula ayadai. If either one of the two becomes pasul, Kansu, we punish him. Dr. Rashi, Kansu, Isaac, Subba. Now Rashi explains. Kloibar, we're not punishing him. It's not the right word to use. Loi Kansu, Mishar, Kalanashim. All it means is we're not punishing her. She's being treated like a regular wife. We're not punishing him to pay the Subba. Every husband pays the Subba at the end of the marriage. It's not a punishment to pay your financial obligation. But it means kansu, I say, means we didn't punish her. Why did they punish Baishnia? They should have said, we don't want her to stay here. The Kivan Dwayatavalok Subamine, since she's not looking forward to getting a ksuba, Shavkalevanavka, she says to herself, why am I staying married to this man? He has zero financial obligation ever to me. But we don't have to punish her. In the case of a lav, the memela shavkalei, she's going to walk out, even though nifsalayada, because he's pasul, he can't do avoda, he gets angry at his wife. You know, I can't do avoda because I'm married to you, and the kids become pasul, so they're fighting anyway because there's consequences to this marriage, and whenever there's negative consequences, it doesn't make good for shalom bayis. That's great. We don't have to say to her, you're not getting anything out of this marriage anyway. You're being used like we do by shnia. By shnia, there are no consequences. He can do avayda. She can remain not a halala. Her kids are kosher. What's going to make her angry? What's going to cause friction? So you know what we tell her? You're not going to get a thing out of this marriage. You're being used. He has no obligation to you. She says to herself, I'm married to a man who doesn't have to take care of me. Not now, not after the marriage, nothing. She'll walk out. Let me finish. Doesn't have to give mezaydus, nothing. Nothing. Then, while she, so that creates an incentive for her to walk out because she views herself as being used. She's a lady being used. There's no husbandry obligations from the husband to her. We don't have to do that. The very fact that he wants to go do Avayit in the Beis HaMikdash, and he wants to do Pinjan Aben, and he wants to get Rishon and Aliyah, we're not giving it to him because he married a Grusha, and while he's married to that Grusha, he gets no benefits of Kahuna. He gets upset. Nobody wants to be ostracized from Kahuna. And that's what we do when he marries a Chayav Lav. And her kids are becoming puzzled. The fighting is going to be built in. We don't have to encourage it. And therefore, we don't punish him, but we don't punish her. That's what this Teretz is saying. Why punish the lady more than the man? Why are we picking on her? The answer is, we only pick on her because we want to break up this marriage. Here we don't have to get involved. The marriage is destined for breakup because of the way we're going to treat him, her, and the kids. And therefore, they're going to be fighting anyway, and the marriage is not going to last anyway. That's what Rashi is saying. By a shnia.
By shnia, in order to break up the marriage.
Correct.
So that's not creating the skills of the problem. That's creating the problem.
Which is exactly what we want to do. We want to create a breakup of the marriage. We have very limited tools in our arsenal, and I know what Abraham is going to ask me in a second, but I'll leave that alone. We have limited tools in our arsenal because since it's only a rabbinic issur, we are not giving him any consequences. We are not giving her any consequences.
We're taking a more dire step in a rabbinic issur.
In order to break up the marriage, we are invalidating the contract. Exactly what we're doing. Meaning, the question is, why don't we just make him puzzle? Or why don't we just make her puzzle?
And why don't we say there's no
marriage?
Again,
Ksuba is financial, marriage is
biblical. Say there's no valid marriage except trying to break it off. Why deem it okay?
Again, we can't just come along, for whatever reason, Chazal did not say any marriage not done against the specifications is invalid. The Torah considered it a valid marriage. In fact, biblically, there's nothing wrong here. It's not even an Aveira. Biblically, it's not even illegal.
And yet, we take a more dramatic, halachic step in deeming the entire...
That's our means of breaking up the marriage.
Deeming the unenforceable during the marriage, unlike the previous situation that was after the marriage.
No, well, there we also did it during the marriage. We didn't make him feed her. But by Amon Mulkan Gadol, we don't have to create the problem of self-creating. That's what Rashi learns this shot. Again, this is Rashi's shot. This problem is self-created. The very existence of this relationship is headed for disaster. He can't do Aveda, he can't get an Aliyah, she's a Chalala, her kids are going to be Chalalim. The situation is one that they yell at each other for hurting each other, and they're going to break up.
More after
both get a ksuba? Yes and no. See, no woman wants to be used. By taking away her ksuba, what we are saying is, you're nothing. You're not even being treated like a wife. You're treated like a zayna. He uses you. You have no rights to anything. No woman wants to be treated like a non-wife. We've taken away all his financial obligations, post-marriage even. And she says to herself, like, why am I in here? What benefit am I getting out of this? I'm not being treated like a wife.
Part of it is after the fact.
But knowing that you're not going to get a ksuba stamps it. Sorry.
I would stress more right now. She's not getting the zonas.
Well, that she's not getting by a monolith and godly either. We're not going to help her keep the marriage going. We want to create a problem by giving her the impression is you're being used. Get out of here. Now, Glashy.
After everything's said and done, and the get was given, can she now go back to Beis Din with the star?
No! We punished her for doing, we told her by Shnia, you're not going to get a ksuba.
Not by Shnia, but
yeah, she gets a star. She gets a ksuba. Rabbi Eimer. Rabbi says a different reason. Rabbi says, Halolu divrei taira, halolu divrei seifrim. Halolu divrei taira, halolu divrei taira, ain't shichin chizuk. Rabbi says a whole new shot. He said, you know what? We punish, we're more involved in punishment by rabbinic marriage than by biblical marriage. Everybody knows biblical marriage is wrong. Everybody knows it. And therefore, we don't have to come along and throw punishments at biblical marriages. Rabbinic marriages, some people don't view it as such a terrible thing. Big deal, it's only rabbinic. So we want to show people, no, rabbinic things cannot be ignored. So we're willing to step in and invalidate the contract to strengthen the rabbinic iser. Biblical isurim don't need to be strengthened. People realize it's awesome in their eyes. Something that's only rabbinic, people don't take seriously. But we don't, listen, the people that are doing it know they're doing wrong. Everybody else knows they're doing wrong. Here, by rabbinic, it's not viewed so terrible. Not so bad.
But don't the punishment, don't the attitudes follow the punishment?
If you have a more severe punishment for a rabbinic attorney, wouldn't you then come to believe that it is actually more severe? As opposed to social stigma or losing the right to that didn't apply in the business, where you actually had inducements, and so no one wanted to do it. But it seems to me,
I think part of our problem is that we don't differentiate between biblical and rabbinic. Most of us don't even know what's biblical and what's rabbinic. Therefore, we don't have that. But in those days, it was clear, this is rabbinic, this is biblical. And people took biblical more serious because it's in the Torah. As rabbinic is an added-on thing, you know? Added on, it's not so terrible.
About what happens after. What happens
when people don't know? Yeah, but the Gemara is assuming that people knew, and that's why this was set up that way. So, Rashi, no Rashi. Davar Achar. Now, we don't know who's saying this Davar Achar. Another reason. Zeu Margila, Vizuhi Margilisai. The answer is, whenever there are consequences, we say the woman would not want to get into the marriage. He was the engine that drove this marriage. And whenever there are no consequences, the woman says to herself, I need a husband. And therefore, she persuaded him to marry her. Who are we blaming for this illegal marriage? In the case of Chayv Lavan, don't blame the woman, because women are very hesitant, afraid to enter a marriage where there'll be consequences for them and their children. And if it happened, it's because he sold her the Brooklyn Bridge. And therefore she agreed. And therefore, why are we going to punish the lady? She's not the engine in this marriage. Whereas in a rabbinic marriage where there are no consequences, so the woman says to herself, I need a husband. You know, I need a husband. It's not going to cost me anything. So, long term, not going to cost me. So she tries to get the man to marry her. And therefore we say to her, you're going to pay the price, because we blame you as the engine for this marriage. Now, I know there'll be cases that are exceptions, but this is the way the Rabbanan approached it. When there are consequences, the woman hesitates. when there's no consequence, the woman wants it. And therefore we punish her in that case as opposed to him. Rashi. Zakrashi. Zehu Margila. Manulukain Godl. Ruchvakalutulukain Hedjit. Who Margila Masisa? He persuades her, Linasilai. The Zushniya, Kivin Dwayi Mifsil of Lav Zara Mifsil, there are no consequences. Like Mifsil Imidi Bibiyasa, she loses zero. Here Margilasai. Why? Sha'isha writes to Linasi Yaisimanesh. Women want marriage more than men do.
Generally. No Kohanim, no divorce, no Israel. In the market for marriage, our default position is bad.
Women want marriage more than men, and the reason for that is, well, that's the understandable reason. The Achronim say that even in society that changes, the fact remains that women need a man, a husband, more than a husband needs a wife. Again, people can sit here and argue about it. But that's the way Chazal look at it. Women want marriage more than men. They're willing to tolerate more to be called Mrs. So-and-so than to be single. That's what it says.
Maybe just give me three questions.
Probably one. Why should it be free?
Because it took so long to get through.
Dabar Akhar. Zakti Gemara. Dabar Akhar. Who said this chat? Who is this Dabar Akhar? Is this Rebbe talking? How does it fit with what he said? Is it Rav Shimon ben Elazar talking? How does it fit with what he said? Ikka the Amir Rav Shimon ben Elazar Tani La. Some say that's what Rav Shimon ben Elazar meant. Meaning, unlike the way we understood Rav Shimon ben Elazar the first time, that it's because biblical they'll fight anyway and rabbinic they won't fight, this is saying, no, Rav Shimon ben Elazar never meant that. He meant this. Biblical, he persuades her. Rabbinic, she persuades him. It's a noob shot, Rav Shimon ben Elazar. Well, matam kamer, matam amru, hu basam ipsul lekontroi siksuba. Why do we say when there's a psul, we punish him? And again, punish him just means we treat him like a regular husband. Neshu Margila, we blame him. Matam hu kashivik shayra kansu aysuk suba. Neshu Margila asai. So according to this, it's a different interpretation in Shimon ben Elazar. It's not two reasons. It's a different shot.
Not only two.
Meaning, the beginning we thought Shimon ben Elazar was saying, one is they're going to fight anyway, one they're not going to fight. Now we're saying, no, that's not what he meant. According to this Ikadamri. Shimon ben Elazar originally meant that we blame her for one kind of marriage and blame him for the other kind of marriage. Ikadi Amri, some say Rebbe Katanila. Rebbe said it as an additional reason. His main reason was Tyre and Divrei Seifrim, but he ran into a problem. A chalutza is only usher rabbinically. A woman who received chalitza is only rabbinically usher to the kayin. Yet, the halacha is by chalutza she gets ksuba. And if Rebbe says, if I'm right, that there's a difference between biblical and rabbinic, why is the chalutza getting suba? And the answer is, the chalutza kakashale, the chalutza drabana, this looks suba. Hadar Amar, kivan the pasul on the drabana, over there, the kids become rabbinic chalolim. Chalutza has consequences. Unlike shnias, there are no consequences. Chalutza drabana made consequences. They made her a chalala rabbinically. They made the kids chalalim rabbinically. Once there are consequences, zeu margalasim and zui margalasim. So according to this shot, it's Rebbe talking. I said there's a difference between biblical and rabbinic, but I got stuck with chalutza. Chalutza is rabbinic. The issur for kain to marry a woman that got chalitza is only rabbinic. According to this Gemara, it's machlokes. No, it's from the Isha. The Baba of the Isha. It's a machloek is whether it's biblical or rabbinic. But his Gemara holds it's rabbinic. If you look, no, it's not here. It's a machlokes. According to Rashi, it's a machlokes in the Gemara, whether it's biblical or rabbinic. According to Titus, everybody holds it's rabbinic. And the Gemara only meant an asmachta. So again, just to review what we have three reasons that we're using here, why we're punishing one, not the other. We have the original Rav Shimon ben Elazar, who says because they fight anyway, and by his Rabbanim they don't fight. We have a second understanding of Rav Shimon ben Elazar that says it's because no consequences, she's the driving engine in the marriage. And the other way is to say Rabbi got Tyra and Divrei Seferim, but he got stuck with Chalutza, so he said because Chalutza has consequences, we treat it biblical. Rav Shimon will continue tomorrow.